the older collectible cards are going to go up. The one of 10, the one of 50 that a particular manufacturer made in the 50s or in the 60s or 70s or even the 80s, those cars are going to continue to go up. There are new markets that are going to be made on cars that are not so popular right now that will be popular either again or much more popular in time to come.
All right, welcome to this episode of the Dealer Playbook Podcast, sitting down with my new pal, Steve Posner from Putnam Leasing. We're going to be talking about the exotic market. We're going to be talking about new car price rises. What do we do about all of this stuff? Stay tuned. I want to thank this episode's sponsor, AutoFi. AutoFi helps dealers like you sell smarter, not harder, online and now in your showroom. Dealerships with AutoFi sell cars faster, with higher satisfaction and more profit. Go to autofi.com/dealer playbook and start selling smarter today. The car business is rapidly changing, and modern car dealers are meeting the demand. I'm Michael Cirillo, and together we'll explore the best strategies, ideas, and tools to create a thriving life in and out of the business. This is the Dealer Playbook. Hey, Steve, thanks so much for joining me on the Dealer Playbook podcast.
Thanks for having me.
Pre-show, I was like, we got to get this out of the way. I hear that New York accent, which to you is not an accent. I'm probably the one with the accent.
You sound fine. I have an accent. I'm trying to get rid of it, but it doesn't look like it's working.
I mean, but it's that accent that everybody goes, and you probably hate this, and I'm sure New Yorkers hate this, but it's that I'm walking here. Kinda.
I don't think I sound quite as that. Like I said, I'm in Connecticut for the past 35 years. I'm originally from New York, and I've been trying to get rid of this accent for 35 years. You should have heard me 35 years ago. It was not good. It was good if you were in New York, but in Connecticut, it wasn't so good.
I love it. So 35 years ago, you go from New York to Connecticut. What brought you to Connecticut?
I had an opportunity to go into business to Putnam Leasing, and I moved, and it's been 35 years since I'm here.
Very good. I mean, in 35 years, you've seen a lot of ebbs and flows in the market, the housing market, people losing their 401ks and all of that craziness in 08, 09, volatility around wars and rumors of wars. And now here we are again. I mean, I don't know if anybody remembers that we just had a pandemic, like the worst thing that can happen to the planet, barring an asteroid collision. And so you made it through that. My question to you is, during those moments of volatility, as someone in a very specific sub niche of the auto industry, exotic leasing and vehicle leasing and that sort of a thing, where does your mind go at this phase of your career, having had experienced other volatile markets in the past? Like, where do you just go, okay, this is what I got to focus in on?
Well, I would tell you that when the pandemic hit, I thought I would be, after being in this business over 45 years, back to being in the restaurant business, selling Frankfurters and Coney Island. I mean, it was a very scary time for about a month or a month and a half. And then business got really, really, really good. Better than it was before the pandemic. What people were doing is they needed things to make them feel better. And they weren't going out into dealerships and shopping for cars. They went online. And when you go online, it gives you the experience of a nationwide network of dealers selling exotic and classic cars. And what they were doing to make themselves happy is they were buying cars from dealers they may not have ever heard of. And the dealers that use Putnam were calling us, and we were doing lease deals on them. And the market just seemed to get better and better. And with the pandemic, prices of cars rose because there were less people trading cars in, and there was more demand for high-end automobiles because, you know, let's face it, there's few things in life that make people happy. Food, vacations, which people couldn't do, jewelry, which people really couldn't wear, good wine, and cars. Now, you could wake up in the morning, you couldn't go to the supermarket without feeling scared that you were going to pick up COVID, but right. You could surely get in your car and take a nice long ride someplace and come home and feel, I didn't socialize with anybody, but I got my yayas out for today in my beautiful new Ferrari or Lamborghini or Rolls or Bentley or Mercedes. Where it's transgressed over the last 4 or 5 years is that the exotic car market is still good. People are still looking to do that, although they're wearing watches and jewelry and doing all the things that they did before. But the exotic cars, although the prices have gone up and the cost of money is more expensive today, is still a very lucrative market. Some months are better than others. Years and years ago, you could predict seasons in the automobile business. You really can't do that anymore. Your cars are coming in earlier and earlier. You can buy a 2025 car in July, depending on the model, where usually those cars were out in September and October. So there's no rhyme or reason of what the car business is right now, although it's still really good.
Yeah. You bring up a couple of interesting points, and I wrote down this thought I want to ask you on the tail end of that, which is that because the people who can afford to lease or own a luxury vehicle are maybe more recession proof or more pandemic proof, like they've got the means, and therefore that's why this sub niche of the auto industry remains lucrative?
Yeah, I would say that's a pretty good assessment. Back during the COVID times, there were a lot of people out of work, and those people unfortunately fell into the category where they needed food. They didn't need an exotic car. They needed to make their ends meet, where the type of customer, thankfully, that we deal with, or a portion of them, a good portion of them, really weren't affected by that. You know, we lease to every different industry, from athletes to professionals, to doctors, to lawyers, to business owners. Unfortunately, the guys that own restaurants, really, they struggled for a while until they started doing deliveries, and eventually their business came back, or it didn't come back and they went out of business. You know, the one thing I would tell you was different than 08 and 09 in our business. We did not have a ton of people returning cars because they couldn't afford it, which was so different from 08 and 09. I remember my director of operations walking in 2008 and 2009, and he had this look on his face like, oh, no, we're taking another car back. And I knew the look. I would say to him, what are we getting back? We're now, during the COVID epidemic, we didn't have that. We didn't have that as nearly as much. We gave people deferrals on payments, the banks did. So it gave people a chance to catch their breath and say, okay, I'm going to continue because we're going to get out of this. You know, the COVID was a terrible, terrible thing for, you know, 2 or 3 years. We've gotten past it where 08 and 09, you know, it wasn't as easy as taking a shot and being immune to it. You know, people really had to work out of their issues.
Interesting. What do you see? Because I'm almost like, I need to get into exotic leasing business because this this sounds great. There must be some specific challenges that you're able to see from your vantage point. What would maybe an example of? Because I mean, we look at the retail auto industry as a whole. We know the challenges they face. I mean, days supply on the market is going through the roof. Not enough people buying these things. People worried about interest rates. People worried about new and emerging tech and what does it mean? There's always the debate around EVs and the impact of that. And there's all sorts of political discussions around that. What are some maybe specific challenges that you see from your vantage point speaking to your niche?
People reaching for cars that they really can't afford. You know, we have a lot of young wealth. And when I say young wealth, I mean people who are in their mid to late 20s and early 30s who are making a lot of money, but maybe don't have the substance behind them that if the market turns for them,
right,
they're going to be able to afford and keep making their payments. So we really, it's very interesting. We have to really do a very good job at playing Solomon in the credit department. You know, what's good, what's not good, because we are a fully recourse lessor. You know, we underwrite all of our leases, and we have to be really careful that we don't give everybody that applies for a lease, and we have to protect ourselves. So I think it's a lot of new money out there. One thing in particular that we have to be really on our toes for is there are a lot of people that love the idea that they're going to lease a car and rent it out to other people and make a ton of money.
Right.
Our leases, you can't do that. But unfortunately, you don't know if I lease a car to a doctor who at a cocktail party listened to someone saying, you know, you can make a fortune leasing out these cars or renting them out, leasing the car from me. And the next thing I know, it's in an accident and the person I leased it to isn't the person that was driving the car. And there's all type of insurance issues. Plus, you really, as someone who leases cars, if I lease you a car, I want to know that you're the guy or you're the woman or the man that's driving it.
Right.
It's not someone else that doesn't really care that's going to lease it for a day or two and beat the piss out of it and get drunk and get into an accident. So that's a challenge of ours and other companies that do, and they're not a lot, but to do what we do.
Hey, I hope you're enjoying this episode of the Dealer Playbook. And before we hop back in, I want to thank today's sponsor, AutoFi. AutoFi helps dealers like you sell smarter, not harder, on your dealership website and now in your showroom too. AutoFi solves the everyday problems dealers actually face, like bottlenecks at the sales desk, customer distrust, and decision overload. Their all-new showroom solution includes deal estimation, desking, lender routing, and an F&I menu, all in one powerful platform. Dealerships with AutoFi sell cars faster, with higher satisfaction, and more profit. In fact, dealers make an average of $641 higher back-end PVR on AutoFi deals versus their non-AutoFi deals. Go to autofi.com/dealer playbook and start selling smarter today. All right, let's hop back into this episode. I'm intrigued by this new money because on the one hand, I think, man, there is no better time to be alive than today because there are people making money in all sorts of different ways that 10 years ago didn't even exist or 20 years ago weren't even on the radar. I'm curious if you, off the top of your head, you know, like what's the most recent way you've heard somebody making money? Like you bring up this new money, this new wealth. What were they doing? Please let it not be selling sneakers.
No, it's YouTubers.
No, you know, kid.
We get a couple of apps a month from these really young men and women, mostly men. I don't know why, although we do lease cars to a lot of women that are YouTubers or Instagrammers. And the incomes are tremendous.
So it's not fake. Like when you see YouTube videos about here's how much this YouTuber makes and it's like $40 million a year. And you're like, what?
Yes.
Is that legit? You're seeing that kind of money roll through?
I'm not going to tell you I see 40 million, but I see 22, 23 year old young men and women that have tax returns for $2, $3, $4, $5 million.
Holy crap, Joe, we got to see now I'm pulling in the producer. I'm like, Joe, we got to get our YouTube channel going.
I'm going to tell you, it's a hot business right now.
Wow.
It's nothing I could ever do, you know, because the hardest thing in business to do is to change. You know, yeah. I could never do it, but there are people that are making a lot of money doing that.
But you're also seeing, if I'm understanding correctly, you're seeing some volatility in that as well. It's like, hey, as quick as the money comes, it could potentially go. Like you're taking that into consideration as you're filling out apps for these people.
Yeah, we are. Anybody that's looking in that category, that's looking for a car that's $300,000-$500,000, we want to take a sizable amount of money down, because some of these individuals, as quickly as they make it, they spend it. And I'm not too familiar with the YouTube business, mm-hmm. thoroughly familiar with it, but it's like any other business. I'm sure there's a pitfall. And if the person falls off the perch in that business and can't afford to pay their bills, and unfortunately we have to take our automobile back, we want to be in a position where we don't lose money.
Right. Yeah, you bring up a good point too, which is, that sounds appealing until I start thinking, oh man, but then I got to keep showing up and making videos.
It's a living. Working. It's definitely a living.
I'm like, I want to find that wealth that just keeps compounding itself so that eventually I don't have to show up and do the job anymore.
The insurance business.
Note to self.
If you sell insurance, based on what you're saying, if you sell insurance and you have enough clients, you have residual income from all of your clients.
Okay. Note to self, open insurance business with Steve.
We certainly have enough customers.
Well, have you ever thought about that, like as a way to expand your business, to start doing the insurance side of the business as well?
It's been brought up to us, but being in this business for as long as I have, do what you know. I mean, I know a lot about the insurance business. I don't want to be in it. We do have affiliations with some insurance companies, some really big ones, that pretty much help us help our customers get insured if they're having difficulties. And right before this interview, we were in a sales meeting, and one of the things that my 8 salesmen had brought up from all over the country is how difficult it is to get people insured today, especially in California and in Florida. A lot of insurance companies have pulled out of the market. So it's challenging. That's a very challenging part of your business. So you have an individual who says, I want to take this Ferrari, I want to take this Lamborghini, and I agree to your terms and my credit is approved, and can't get insurance. That's a problem. So that falls into us helping our customers. And we do have affiliations with several companies that do help us with that.
In a way, the market you're serving with exotics and luxury, is it fair to say that these are people that already know what they want? Like, they're coming to you because they know what they want. They know they want a Ferrari. They know they want a Lambo or Maserati or whatever it is, right? How does that affect the way you market? Is it much more low funnel marketing? Like, you're speaking to these people head on. Is there anywhere in there that you need to cater to people that are doing research, or is that just not part of the game?
Well, the basis of our business really comes from our salesmen soliciting dealerships that sell these cars throughout the United States. And if a dealer has a customer in Iowa, in California, in Arizona, in Texas, and uses us, they will call one of our salespeople and discuss the deal with them. And it's them giving us their customer to do the financing, or actually the leasing for. That's a very big part of our business. Another very big part, or a part of our business, is that we have aligned ourselves to a very big auction company, high-end auction company, and maybe two, that when someone wins their bid, we lease them the car. And it could be, you know, a 1957 Mercedes Gullwing. It could be a Pantera. it runs the gamut. And being in business for the past, since 1983, so the past 46 years, was that right? 46 years.
83, 40,
I'm sorry.
40, I'm 40 years.
40 yeah, years. 41, I'm embarrassed. I'm in the math business, but I'm not a good math student. For over 40 years, let's say that, and having a really excellent reputation, we do get people that call us that have already picked out what they want and need our help in getting the thing paid for and leased. And then we do have customers that call, and we play therapists because they don't know what they want. You know, they want a toy, but they don't know what toy they want. And, you know, and we kind of guide them in the right direction.
So you're like, okay, so I just got some basic questions. Do you know that it wants brakes? They're like, yeah, I think it does. I want brakes. What about gas pedal? Yeah, we want a gas pedal. Okay, that's good. We're narrowing it down for you here. So there's really an opportunity here for dealers throughout the country to be leveraging you to bring more luxury, exotic availability to them as a dealer.
Yeah, at times we definitely will put a customer who has gone through his therapy session and has told us what they're looking for or narrow down what they're looking for in touch with a dealer that is a Putnam-friendly dealer and does business with us, to put that person in the direction of that dealership to help them sell a car and help our customer find a car.
Interesting. Which opens up all sorts of marketing opportunities for those local dealerships to be reaching a segment of their market. I think, like, I'm just outside of Dallas, and I'm thinking, oh man, there would be so many opportunities here to reach into that Texas oil and tech money that's flying here. One final question for you. I mean, what's your outlook on where things are headed? You've got hindsight. You've got 40 years in the rearview mirror. Where are things headed in the next, I don't know, 5-10 years, in your opinion?
The collectible cars, the older collectible cars are going to go up. The one of 10, the one of 50 that a particular manufacturer made in the 50s or in the 60s or 70s or even the 80s, those cars are going to continue to go up. There are new markets that are going to be made on cars that are not so popular right now that will be popular either again or much more popular in time to come. I'm very optimistic that the prices will still continue to rise. Mm-hmm. We were just in the auctions at Amelia Island, which those auctions are kind of a barometer for the automobile business. The very, very high-end, pre-owned, used, collectible market. And I was very pleasantly surprised to see that the prices on the cars have really stood up. There were some cars that sold for record prices. So my opinion is the market's still good and there's still room to grow.
Wow. That's amazing. I love this conversation. So many interesting things I never even thought about. I mean, I spend so much of my time thinking about, you know, the franchise car dealerships around the nation and independent dealers and so on and so forth. And there's some things in here I just hadn't thought about. So I want to thank you for joining me today here on the Dealer Playbook. How could those listening or watching connect with you?
I can give you our email address is www.putnamleasing.com, or you could call us. Our toll-free number is 1-800-278-0071. You could feel free to ask for me. I'll help you with your car therapy. If you're in a particular area where one of our reps handle, I'll make the marriage between you and our representative. Dealers are welcome to call us, and I'll put you in touch with our rep who will explain our program and the benefits of the program to the dealership.
Amazing. Steve, thanks so much for joining me on the Dealer Playbook Podcast.
Thank you very much. Have a great day, everyone.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Hey, thanks for listening to the Dealer Playbook podcast. If you enjoyed tuning in, please subscribe, share, and hit that like button. You can also join us and the DPB community on social media. Check back next week for a new Dealer Playbook episode. Thanks so much for joining.